Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. So we're blessed to be joined by a recurring guest that we've had on in the past, but a gentleman that's done extremely well in both taking advantage of some of the mispricing opportunities in the market, but also avoiding the pitfalls. So we're happy to be joined by David Fingold, Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager of Dynamic Funds. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, so we've got to do justice in a very short period of time, David, of the massive success that you've had. You run a number of different mandates, and I think let's keep it open-ended to the global mandate. Go anywhere, do anything to try to take advantage of and protect in this market. I'm very interested in your thoughts, in the portfolio leading up to the pandemic, and then, you know, maybe some of the surprises that you saw happen.
Right. Well, the way that our portfolio is always positioned is that we invest in high-quality businesses. And what that means is that our companies have strong balance sheets, strong profitability, consistent profitability, and that when bad things happen, they tend to outperform. Now, as we all know, there was a bear market primarily centered in the month of March. The economy went into recession. The National Bureau of Economic Research has told us that a recession started at the end of February. And they are the ultimate authority on that. They have also told us that it may be the shortest recession ever, which means that if it breaks the prior record, which is 6 months, then if it's 5 months long, then it ends in August. Since the bottom in the stock market at the end of March, the market has been trading as if a recession is ending. The decline in March was equal to the median decline for a recession. And the performance of the market over the last month or two is consistent with the way that it acts during the last half of a recession. So I wouldn't use words like unprecedented. I would say that like the other three or four recessions I've had to deal with during my career, it's a challenge and we need to act appropriately, but opportunities are also created.
Let me use the word surprise, because many people, Faisal, when we're talking to them, they're surprised on the way down, they're surprised on the way up. Surprise is a word that gets used often. David, I'm not sure surprise is a word that you would use to deter, to describe what's happened, but let's go with that. How would you address somebody who says, I'm surprised?
Well, I think the problem is that most people don't know a number of the facts I just talked about. In other words, the performance of the stock market when you go into recession and how it acts as a recession is ending. For whatever reason, people don't know those historical facts. And Warren Buffett has been outspoken in saying the one thing we've learned from history is nobody learns from history. So I'm not surprised that they are surprised. But certain things were going to happen inevitably. We saw interest rates dive towards zero, and we have an open current account and capital account, which meant that if there were negative interest rates in Europe, there was nothing to stop Europeans from buying positive yielding paper in North America and driving down yields. We knew that Saudi Arabia had ambitions to export as much oil as it could, and that eventually, whenever the economy slowed, they would end up in a price war with Russia. We just approached that by avoiding financial services because of the impact with interest rates and avoiding oil and gas because of the overcapacity. So we don't want to be surprised. We want to try to think about what the reasonable scenarios are that can occur. And then when we are surprised, and I will tell you, I was surprised that we went into a recession so quickly. And I guess the key surprise would have been the lockdowns, because I think this is the first pandemic with such broad lockdowns. And I was surprised because they tend not to be very effective, and I don't know how effective they've been. But it happened, and we just remained calm, and we reacted to it. So I think also when one is surprised, there's an important key to remain calm and to remain objective, because lots of opportunities were created as well.
David, we've been working now together for many years, and we've sat down, we've talked about these sorts of things in the past, not a pandemic, but in regards to how to stay calm to the process. Something that happened during this pandemic, when the markets fell the way they did, you kind of went shopping. You kind of went out there and looked at certain companies, and this is why we work so well together in our portfolios. Give me some names and some rationale about why you bought them during the pandemic. We understand why you stayed away from financials and energy. That makes sense. But what did you go towards?
Right. Well, we always have a shopping list. There are companies that we really admire, and we may not have purchased them in the past because either we were concerned that things were going to get worse before they got better. So cyclicals would be an example of that. Or they were businesses where the valuation was unattractive, but if they went on sale, we'd buy them. I think that in the case of valuation becoming attractive, I would mention cloud computing company ServiceNow, because I think that the effectiveness of their software, the returns on investment for the clients who use the software is very, very well understood, and it had a very strong valuation, but briefly went on sale during the bear market, and we took advantage of that. Then there were also companies that we liked that were cyclical businesses, where the best time to buy them is when the economy is weak and when the path of least resistance for the economy is to get stronger. And some companies I would mention in that respect include Lowe's, which, as you know, is a home improvement retailer. And we've seen very strong developments in home improvement as people have literally cocooned. They've stayed at home. They're literally having staycations. There's a lot of do-it-yourself work being done. And business was strong at the beginning of the year, but an opportunity was created when everybody was panicked that nobody could do any construction. And as everybody got comfortable that the construction trade won't stop and the do-it-yourself would continue, Lowe's has been able to reassert itself and do well. So it hasn't been a problem to find quality on sale, because when you get the combination of a bear market and a recession, you not only have a buying opportunity in the market, you have an economic opportunity, because when you're in recession, the economy is only likely to get stronger as you move forward into the future.
So when you look at other portfolio managers or just portfolios in general, and we get to sit down with a lot of people who look for a second opinion, and I see broad-based, multi-industry, dividend-focused investments, but they're down 18-20% still as we speak, and there are portfolios that have not performed like you have. You have a dividend tilt somewhat in your portfolio. What's the difference between what you're doing and what a typical either index, a shadow index hugger, or an individual or a portfolio focused only on dividends?
Well, why don't we start with the focus on dividends? It is my prime focus, but we look at it very differently, we think, than anyone else looks at it. So we are not looking at dividend-paying companies for income. We are looking at dividend-paying companies for growth. And companies that pay dividends and grow their dividends faster than their peers are actually the best-performing companies as a group. And what confuses people on this is they think, therefore, they're going to get income. And what they're missing is that the companies that grow their dividends the fastest have the lowest dividend payouts and they have the lowest dividend yields. So it's literally those companies that maybe are yielding 0.5%, but they can raise the dividend materially as a percentage every year. Those are the ones that are doing really well. The companies with the above average yields that are struggling to generate enough cash to service their dividends, well, that's not a good performing part of the market. So dividends are an important signal, but if you want to use that signal to find growth, you can't get this above average income that people focused on. So when you say that there are people with dividend strategies that have had unsatisfactory results, the answer is they likely focused on a high income portfolio of companies struggling to generate enough cash to pay an unsustainable dividend. And we've seen a very substantial number of dividend cuts. We've seen companies omit or eliminate dividends. And that has affected the companies with the highest dividend yields, more, I think, than any other part of the market.
David, we're going to take a quick break in a minute, but I think that particular 1 minute segment you just had probably caught a lot of people's attention and surprised a lot of people. So having said that, we're going to take a break in a minute, but we do have to remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about this type of strategy, how you actually invest, profit, and protect through these types of markets. How do you provide income for the rest of your life? And we're going to do that on our webinar on Tuesday, July 21st, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, if you want to understand how to take advantage of what's coming into the future, from a guy who's done done a great job through this period, stick around after the break. Here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.